Well, the last time that we got together, I think we finished chapter 5 and we talked about husbands and wives, and it wasn't that violent. And we really learned that we should submit one to another. And if we are walking in Jesus Christ, submitted one to another, we can be better husbands and better wives. We can be Christians in it. It requires commitment to God. It's a heart that is yielded to Jesus Christ, to God the Father in Jesus Christ. And we talked some about that. Now we're going to continue on with the Christian family. There is no break in the chapters, so keep that in mind. Now as we start together, look at this. Now we went from the husbands and wives, showing that that is a symbol or a type of Jesus Christ and His church. And so husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And we learn those things. And then we see this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Should have said this before they left, huh? You're thinking, oh man. You know, first of all, think about that. When Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, he must have figured the kids would be sitting in there listening to this letter being read. Huh? You know, we like to have our children in here for worship, because it is good to worship God. Sometimes we feel a little uncomfortable, and some people do get a little wiry in their worship, and you're not sure if they're going to, you know, flip out on you, you know? And I know that some of us, we worry about that. But it's good to have the children here, because it's good to praise God. We're commanded, praise ye the Lord. Continually praising God. But another important aspect is when your children are with you, they not only worship God, but they see you do it too. And they learn how. And of course, if you're bored, they grow up bored with it. Because children just do that. It's good to have them here. And Paul says to the children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, I'm going to say something that may sound odd, but I really believe it's scriptural. Basic training for any soldier does not start in boot camp. It starts at home. I am convinced of that. And at home, I needed to be taught respect. And I needed to be taught to obey. So that when I got into boot camp, at least I understood the theory. Now, we are soldiers of the Lord. Men and women alike are soldiers in the Lord's army. You come to Jesus Christ, you become a soldier. Now, your training started, or should have started, a long time ago. Those of you that have children, some this morning say, we have a brand new baby. We lift this baby up to you. We will train this baby up. And one of the things that we'll train this little girl or this little boy to do is to learn to be obedient. So that when God begins to speak to them on their own, and they're old enough and now they're walking, they will understand what obedience is. They will know. We live in a society that is not really that way. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, you can write this down, says almost the same thing. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, you want to please God? Obey your mother and your father. Learn to obey. Luke 2, verse 51 says this, speaking about Jesus. Remember when he went at 12. He went and they were in Jerusalem for the feast, and he was there debating the scholars in the temple. And Joseph thought Mary had him, because he's little. Mary thought Joseph had him. And at 12, they're headed home and nobody's got him. We lost God. Oh, are we going to be in trouble when we get to heaven? What did you do with him? Mary had him. Come on, where's Jesus? Joseph took him. You lost God. What's the price for that? Well, they didn't lose him. You know that. I'm just teasing. There he was in the temple. And Mary and Joseph, they found him. They had to go all the way back, and they found him. And he was there debating the scholars at 12. What were you doing at 12? I know. Yeah. And they were shocked, and Mary says, no, why have you done this to us? We were worried sick. Why did you do this? And he said, don't you know I need to be about my father's business? Not Joseph's carpentry work, my father in heaven. And of course, parents. Parents, listen, listen. They looked at God, said, Jesus, you are coming home. Don't do that again. Can you imagine? Probably crushed his ego. I mean, his self-esteem went into the trash. I don't think so. He calmly packed up his stuff, whatever he had laying around there in the temple, and went with his parents. That's what Luke chapter 2, verse 51 says. I'm paraphrasing, but listen. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. He was subject unto them. He was God, yet he did what his dad told him to do. He did what his mother expected him to do. And children, we should do the same. Our example is Jesus. We should obey our parents. Because there's coming a time you'll be up and on your own. You want to know what it's like without God? You don't want to know what it's like when people reject God? Before Jesus came to the earth to die for the sins of the world, prior to that, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 28 through 31, Paul tells us this, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, reprobate, not functioning correctly, to do those things which are not convenient, King James says. Being filled with all unrighteousness, listen, unrighteousness, fornication, sexual sin of all sorts, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, they were full of envy, murder, debate. Ooh. We run classes in that in school. They were full of deceit, malignity, they were whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. When you forget God, one of the things that comes with murder and sexual sin is disobedience to your parents. Which, of course, once you're disobedient to your parents at 6 years old and at 9 years old, then what's natural? You're going to be disobedient to any authority, aren't you? Well, sure. As a policeman in Las Vegas, Nevada, when I was young, policemen were big people. They carried guns and sticks and they were authority. And if a policeman said to you, young man, please back up, you did. Now, as a policeman, me wearing all the guns and the knives and the sticks and everything and all the sprays, and now you walk out there and there's a 9-year-old and you say, young man, here's an accident. Would you please step back? And he says language that you're not allowed to use at 30 years old. In other words, he's saying, no, I won't move. I weigh 200 pounds. He weighs 45. He'll move. But usually you would expect to say, please back up. And at 9, a child would say, yes, sir. Or if you're not so legalistic like me, the child would say, okay. Or something respectful. But when you have a society that has pushed God from their minds, you're going to have disobedience first to parents. And then to authority of all sorts. Because if you would murder your mother, then you'd murder anybody. True? Not you, but you. Now you look around the society that I live in and you see disrespect of all sorts. Where did it come from? Well, those kids are just bad. No. Parents? No. We need to teach them. We need to teach them. I remember my mother, and I wasn't beaten and my self-esteem wasn't crushed, but I do remember her saying, go and get the switch that I'm going to have to kill you with. Now, she didn't kill me. I just figured she would. Being very intelligent, a real swift, powerful, cerebral thinker that I am, I go outside and get this little bitty thing. Now, you know how much more they hurt compared to... I should have brought something like a baseball bat. Here, hit me with this. Because she'd go, oh, I couldn't hit him with that. But she could hit you with that little thing and it hurt. I wasn't that swift. It took me a while, but I caught on. Soon I was bringing large switches that she would have to... And she wouldn't hit you with it. Go to your room. Don't come out till you're 30. And you think, oh, see, his mother was a bad person. No, I am grateful that my parents were willing to throw my self-esteem away and switch me. Ouch! Oh, my goodness, that hurt. I ran one time. She passed away years ago. My mother was a captain in the Italian army during the war. Lord. You see? Now you understand, don't you? She met my dad. They were engaged. He was a corporal in the American army. So she could tell him what to do from the start. Legally. But I remember being a young man, 7, 8 or so, and I was in trouble, and she was just going to have to paddle. I think my brother and I both. But I thought, no, because I'll just run away. Man, I've never seen an older person move like that. I mean, when I went over 6-foot fences, she was right there. You couldn't lose her. I didn't know basic training they had the girls do that. I gave up. Probably about a half a mile down the road, I just stopped and thought, well, we'll just have a funeral service. It'll be. Because she was determined, my son, my boys won't do that. And we didn't after a while. Even when all of a sudden something happened to her and she got really short and I would look down on her, even then, she would say, don't make me hurt you. That's cool when a little person, I'll get you. You don't scare me. And I remember then thinking, well, that's my mother. You know, at 17, 18 years old, I need to listen to her. I need to listen to my mom. My dad, of course, could still rip my head off, and so it was easier to listen to him. Now, you guys don't think in those terms. I know you're modern. To forget God, one of the consequences will be children will be disobedient to parents. And so, Christian children, let me read to you what you ought to be like. Obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord, you obey your parents. Romans 1:28 shows you when they forgot God, what happened. Now look, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 tells us what it will be like in the end times. Now that was telling us what it was like before Jesus came, how people had totally rejected and forgotten God. Now in the end times, dangerous times will come. Know this also, Timothy, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. This is chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From those kinds of people, stay away from them. Turn away. Because in the last days, children will be disobedient to their parents. Now you see it in our lifetime. We're here in the last days and children are disobedient, but not yours and mine. Because number one, they're raised in Jesus Christ as families have committed to God to do. So they're taught obedience. Their boot camp or their training starts way before boot camp. When they enter into the army of the Lord, they already understand obedience. And when God says, you walk with me, they understand and say, yes, sir. So you're not making it easier on them if you do not take care of this now. You're making it harder on them. You say, well, I love her or him, so I can't discipline them. Well, then you are only hurting them. That reminds me. My dad would say that dreaded statement, all right, I'm going to have to spank you. Remember when parents used to do that? Not talk, but spank. It's a long time ago. Long time ago. Now they have timeouts. My mother would give me timeout. Yeah, cut my oxygen off for 5 minutes. There's a timeout for you. Nobody in my family counted to 10. Not that they couldn't. There was no proof of it, though. Nobody did. I remember my dad saying the dreaded statement. And he would say, I pray that you get sons like my parents had someday. just because you need that. My dad would say, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. Now, if you got a son like me, what's the response? I would look at him and say, yeah, but in a whole different place. And there we go. One swat. Ha. At school, the teachers made a covenant with my family. In high school, I got a swat. Because I broke a rule. I don't think they do that anymore, do they? It's against the law. Boy, weren't we treated poorly. No wonder my self-esteem is where it is. My football coach lifted me off the ground a good 6 inches. Ow! Never, ever, ever, ever again did I ever do that. Didn't even think about doing it. Someone mentioned doing it, I hit them. I learned. You want your children to learn, and you don't want to abuse them. That's the problem. The child abuse, the sexual abuse, the ugly, gross sin. We don't want to do that. That's not Jesus Christ. We want to love them. If you love somebody, you'll make sure they're pointed in the right direction. Just remember, when they had forgotten God, children were disobedient to their parents. When the end times are here, children will be disobedient to their parents. But not Christian children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, with promise. It's the first one with promise. That it may be well with you and you may live on the earth. It'll go well with you when you realize you begin to learn obedience, you begin to learn wisdom, you begin to learn respect. It will go well with you. That's true. And you fathers. Now the word is translated in other places in the New Testament, and you parents. So it is speaking to mothers and fathers, but fathers are singled out because we have just been told that the dad, the father, will be the head of the household. So he's going to be the final authority. It's going to come all the way down to, in theory, but this is not a good thing to do. Wait till your father gets home. Now you've been switched, but when your dad comes home, I'm going to tell him I had to switch you. Or I'm going to tell him what had to happen. And then your dad will be talking to you. Hopefully talking. So you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That doesn't mean don't discipline them. What it means is don't overdrive. Listen to them. Pay attention to them. See what's going on. Find out where they're coming from. Pay close attention to what they're doing. If they're angry all the time, if there is absolutely no respect at all, find out. Don't just go in angry, which we all could have a tendency to do. But fathers, parents, don't provoke them to wrath. Now, it doesn't mean don't make them angry. I mean, if you know, when you would get a swat at school, you didn't walk away going, well, thanks, I really needed that. You go, man, that hurt. I don't like this. I mean, it does do something to you. But the point is, we don't want to overdrive them, push them beyond the brink. We don't want to crush them. We want them to understand obedience. We want them to understand the love God has for them. We want to be able to have them understand what's going on. Do you understand why you're being grounded? Do you understand what's going on here? Do you see the difference between what is right and what is wrong? Are you grasping the situation here? Now, when they're three, I don't normally go through all that. And you know what? If you will be obedient to the Word of God when they are 3 and 4, at 16, your life is a lot simpler. Because at 16, you're probably not going to be doing little things like that. I've seen dads and their sons, when their sons are 17 and 18, fight, literally, fisticuffs, punching each other out. Now, you know what, sir? I understand why this is happening, but, you know, your life would have been so much cleaner and easier had you begun this at 2 or 3. Because then, sometimes, it's just a simple little slap on the hand and no. Now, fisticuffs and we're going to lose teeth. Somebody is going down. And you're running late here. Begin when you dedicate them to the Lord. Stay with them. Parenting, remember the book? Parenting is not for cowards. It's a tough job. I won't even start it. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition. The words you and I would use today are training and discipline. We need to bring our children up, not in anger, not in fierce violence, but in love, in nurture, in admonition, training and discipline. Here is what you need to do. And these are the consequences to that. So they learn the consequences. And so their lives are a little bit more stable, a little bit more sturdy, and they get into this outside world out there, and things start coming at them, and they realize what respect is, and they realize what obedience is, and they understand that there are consequences to things. And they don't just live in a TV fantasy world or a movie world. They live in reality where they understand these things. And I'm not suggesting anything like violence or beating your children. And I know that's what people think immediately. What I'm suggesting is making sure your children are disciplined, trained. And I would, I can't tell you what to do with your children or yours, but this is God's Word. And so I would suggest you pray about this and ask for wisdom. Because if you love someone, you want them aimed in the right direction. Because they are going to grow up and they are going to walk on their own. And they need to be equipped, because you won't always be there to pick them back up or to point them in the right direction. So it continues on. Now, as they begin to grow, and now this will come to you and I, now that we see we need to train our children up in the training and discipline of the Lord, that's the way we do the children. So now, remember, all of this is hooked back to chapter 5, where we saw the verse 21. I think it's 21. Let me read it to you just to be sure. Yes, 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in... make sure I use the language that's used here. In the fear or the reverence of the Lord or of God. So, you're submitting one to another. Husbands, wives, me, my wife and I, your wife and you, your husband and you, we submit to one another, and we've got to learn how to love each other and how to submit, wives, husbands, and how to do these things in the Lord. Keeping in mind that we begin the whole section with submitting one to another, now we say, husbands, be this way. Wives, be this way in Jesus Christ, in the Lord. Now children, you submitting one to another also, be this way. And as we remember, that's the Christian family submitting one to another in the Lord, doing the things that are pleasing to God. Then we move on and we say, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. The word servant is someone who is in a servile position. So in our day and age, even though there are slaves around the world, normally in this country, it's rare that there are slaves. Some of you think you are, but it's rare that there are slaves. Normally, a person that's in a servile position, we would term that in our language as an employee. Someone who really is under someone else, and that's where their living is coming from. I work for you, and in exchange I get a paycheck, and that's how I support my family. So I'm in a position of being under whoever is the boss. And so that's what we're referring to here when we say, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. In other words, wherever you are working, whoever is in charge, with fear and trembling in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. So those of you that have jobs, as Christians, now remember, submitting one to another, those of you who are Christians and God has blessed you with a job, obviously it doesn't pay enough, they never do. And obviously your bosses could be one of the worst. In some cases you're blessed and your boss isn't, but that's true. No matter what kind of person you work for, we are to submit there and be obedient. Now, when we read, wives, submit to your own husbands, although obedience is a part of it, submission is not just obedience. Submission is recognizing and saying, you're the head, I'll listen. But here, the word has nothing to do with submission. It's simple, outright, obey. My boss is going to pay me $1 an hour, and what he wants me to do is go outside and dig holes. And in obedience, for that $1 an hour, I dig those holes. And I dig those holes as unto Jesus Christ. And I become the best hole digger in the whole city because it's really doing it for Jesus. And we lose sight of that, and that's why children are reminded to obey. Husbands are reminded to love their wives. Wives are reminded to submit unto their own husbands. Families submitting one to another, loving each other, doing the things for the glory of God. And now, if I have a job, submit, or really obey is the word, I obey my boss. But in the Lord. Now, if my boss says we're going to run out and we're going to burn down the building across the street, no, I can't be a part of that because my Father in heaven, it wouldn't bring him glory, so I can't do that. We submit as unto the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Not fear and trembling, not being afraid of them, but recognizing that I am really doing this, representing God. When I take a job at minimum wage, or at $50 an hour, or whatever, commission, I realize that although that man or that woman is really my boss, I have a higher boss, and I, in fear and trembling, I say, Lord, let me be an example of what your children are to this boss and to everybody I work with. Let me be. Fear and trembling, realizing that there is someone greater than this man or woman I work for. There is God. And that's what we're supposed to remember. In singleness of your heart as unto the Lord. Now that means I need to have one thing on my mind. When I come to work for you today, you've given me the job of, I don't know what you've given me the job of doing, of walking and shaking everybody's hands. That's my job, minimum wage. And all I do is just walk and shake people's hands. And you say, Bob, that's what I want you to do. All right, I obey. I shake everyone's hands and I walk. And in singleness of heart, you know, I'm here at work. You want me to start at 8? I don't show up at 8:01. I show up at 8. As a matter of fact, God built me differently than you. And if you tell me to be there at 8, I'm there at 6:30, 6:45. And I'm already walking and shaking hands. And if you come up to me and say, hey, I wanted you to start at 8. I'm not paying you for this. I know that. I wanted to get with it. I wanted to walk and shake hands. I want you to know I'm thankful that you've given me this job. Now, I'm not saying you have to show up an hour and 45 minutes early, but what I am saying is you need to, with fear and trembling, know that if your boss says be there at 9, you are a child of the King. You be there at 9. Don't you show up at 9:02. You say, oh, don't be so legalistic. No, the point isn't the time. See, the point is, I had a guy give me a job one time, and he said, do you have any experience? And I said, no. And he said, how do you know you can do your job? I said, because I'm a Christian and I need this job. And if God will give me the job, I will serve Him. And He hired me just on that alone. And so that was God who gave me that job. It would be very, very disobedient to my Father to take advantage of that, to start showing up late, start taking. If he says, I got 30 minutes for lunch, start taking 40, 45, 50 a week. We can't be that way. We are an example of Jesus Christ. Children, husbands, wives, here's how we serve God and bring glory to Him. Employees, here's how we do it. Yeah, but my boss is a non-Christian and the guy has a foul mouth or the woman has a foul mouth. And if God has you working there, you serve as unto the Lord. You don't disobey God, but you serve as unto the Lord. Everything we do, we're doing it for Jesus. Each time you get out there and you're picking up trash in the parking lot, you're picking up trash for Jesus. That's the truth. Every time you go to someone's home because they say, I'm not feeling well, could you come by and pray with us, or could you help us here? Every time you go, you're going for Jesus. You're serving this one for Jesus. And so you want to become the best visitor or the best parking lot cleaner. You just want to do a good job because you're doing it for Jesus. You need to be, servants obey those masters. Now, did God say those masters are great? No, He didn't. He just said, obey them. Now, some of you work for yourselves. Some of you own your own business and you work for yourself. And that's good. That's a blessing, except for I know some of you, and I know that when you work for yourself, you work for one of the toughest bosses on the earth. Because you drive yourself harder than any employer would. Yet, those of you that work for yourself, keep in mind that God is the boss. And that's what keeps me many times where I'm supposed to be. I keep in mind that even though I can set my own schedule, God is really in charge. And I need to be honest with everything I do and everything I have. Even though maybe nobody's going to check how many hours I work. As long as I'm putting in my 10 a week, I'm going for it. You know how pastors are. Worn out after 10 hours. I'm tired. 10 hours? I worked 10 hours this week. I'm just teasing. Pastors work 20. Sometimes more. But the point is, those of you that set your own schedules, remember God. God Almighty. He's watching. He knows much more than I want Him to know. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto the Christ. Not with eye service. Here's a neat word, eye service. Eye service in our language would mean while under the eyes of. Now, I have been in locations and in places to where people are just standing around breathing and someone is the lookout. Have you ever seen that? Okay, there she comes. Okay, and we're all busy. When she walks by and she goes, you guys are such a blessing. I know. Oh, yeah, working for Jesus. Yeah, she's gone. Cool. That's what it means to be under the eye of. You want to be honest all the time, and that's hard. Because in any job, in my job, in your job, in any job, you always figure out the pattern. Romaine, Pastor Romaine has written a book about assistant pastors. And he is so right when he says, well, we'll talk to Ray later, but he's so right when he says assistant pastors are really hot. I mean, they are on it for the first 6 months and then they figured the system out. And now they're not there as much. They're not quite doing as much as they're figuring someone else is going to cover it, and they've done a lot anyway. And all of us are that way. Not just, I'm just teasing. Ray's here all the time. He lives here. But assistant pastors do that. Pastors do that. Do you do it where you work? Well, you know, I'll be faithful, but I've got this pattern figured out. I know what I can get away with and what I can't get away with, and I'll always be faithful. Be careful of that. That's a trap that each of us can get into. You want to be honest with your work all the time. That doesn't mean you can never have a break or never stop to rest a minute or never stop to talk to friends. But if that's your pattern and you're talking to friends all day, if you're getting minimum wage, somebody's throwing away a lot of money. Because to me, that's a lot of money. And that can't be my pattern. I mean, of course, if I'm supposed to be working the drive-in window at McDonald's. Well, obviously, then, if you're working that, you can't speak English. But, I mean, in normal cases, you know, when you work, it's okay to stop and speak to someone, but if that becomes your lifestyle, you're developing a pattern that is no good, and you want to become honest. You want to start to obey the masters again. And you don't want to do it with eye service. Always, always being honest with God. And some jobs are very exciting and they're different every day. And some jobs, your job is to put something, a strip of paint across the metal when it comes by. And you're just holding the brush doing it. And after 3 hours, you're catching on. If you just back up a little bit and let three go by, you can go. Or if you just take a break for lunch, you can run, you know, for 10 minutes. You see what I'm saying? Do you get the point? You want to be honest and faithful, whether it's exciting or whether it's mundane. God knows. I don't have to explain to him how boring it is painting these holes. He understands. And he wants to train me for something. What on the earth could you do painting these holes? What? You don't know. Take a look at Joseph. Take a look at Jacob. Take a look at men and women all throughout Scripture. And God uses everything they did when the time came for what He wanted them to do. You're not wasting your time, and He's promised me that. So, not just with eye service, but as the servants of the God, or as men pleasers. You know, you don't want to do it to be a man pleaser. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Did you see he calls your being obedient? Did you see he calls it, and this is so strange to us, he calls me being obedient in my job, doing the will of God. Isn't that interesting? I'll read it to you again. Not with eye service, verse 6, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. And don't be this way. You know, I'm going to close in just a minute, so I'll hurry. Don't be this way. You accept a job and it pays $2 an hour. Now, 2 weeks later, you come to your boss and say, I got to have a raise. I can't make it on two. You agreed to that too. And don't be one of those employees that accepts a job for $5 an hour and then behind your boss's back call him cheap. He gave you the work. God bless him. And if God figures that I'm worth more than five, he'll never figure that. But if he ever does, then he'll provide that. And don't be complaining. Trust him. Listen to him. That's the hardest part for me because sometimes I think I'm worth more. I should know better. Sometimes I think I just need more. He knows what I need and he provides it to me when I need it. And so be honest and be faithful. You will lead more people to Jesus by being a Christian where you are than by complaining and whining and stealing and cheating. Not only that, but you do it with goodwill. Goodwill, that's King James. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Goodwill meaning a good mindset. Or, in our language today, a good attitude. Thank you, Lord, for my job. It's not exactly the best in the world, but I thank you for my job. Thank you. And if it's not good, then ask him for something else. But while you're there doing what you're doing, as a servant and the master, obey. And do it with a good will, with a good attitude, as to the Lord. Remember, just do it for Jesus and not to men. And you masters, now, those of you that are bosses, you're employers and you have people that work for you. Do the same thing to them. Treat them right. Take care of them. Forbearing, threatening. Don't threaten. Don't threaten people with the loss of their job. When you got to get rid of them, then you get rid of them. You don't threaten and play games. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Respect of person means favoritism, or it means lifting up your face to see who it is. We can't respect persons. God isn't a respecter of persons. He loves you and I no matter what we are, who we are, where we are in our life. And so now we've seen husbands here. Wives here. Children here. You as employees, servants here. You as employers here. Submitting yourselves one to another in Jesus Christ. Loving each other. Now, if you and I were to do that, life would be such a blessing. Work. Dealing with family and friends. But as soon as we won't, we fight. You know, husbands and wives just clash. Children clash with parents. You've got rebellion. You've got, and it's just out of control. And you think, where did I go wrong? Well, get back. Stop and say, Lord, take my heart, put it back where it belongs. I need to do this in Jesus Christ. We need to humble and submit one to another again. And let's just start from scratch. That's how we do it. And not respecting a person. Oh, well, so-and-so, he's this, he's that. And so we treat him one way. No, we love and submit and respect each other. I know I covered a lot. Now we'll praise and we'll worship. I want you to pray about these things as God speaks them to you. Be honest with each other. Love each other. Take care of each other. Be an employee. Be a good Christian example. Be a good boss. Be a good Christian example. Be a good husband. Be a good wife. Be children that are obedient, knowing that God will bless and reward. And all of this will show the world that Christianity works. There's a saying before we close. A man came over from China and he says, I have seen Christianity and I have seen Christianity in America and I can tell you it doesn't work. And one of the evangelists said, you picked the wrong country. Christianity's never really been tried yet in America. Isn't that true? If we really, you and I honestly say, I want to be your servant, Lord. I don't have the ability. Fill me with your Spirit. Let me walk today and bring you honor and glory. You will see others come to Jesus. You will see lives change. Your marriage will be better. Your children will grow up stronger. Your boss or your employees, you will see changes. And when you think someone's walking on you, don't fret and take a world standard. Give it to God and listen to Him and ask Him, Lord, tell me how to handle this. Show me wisdom. Let me deal with this correctly. And you'll see. I promise, according to God's Word, you will see lives change. Let's bow our heads as we close and worship together.